You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Disinformation Project released a report last week which confirmed that since Posy Parker's arrival in Aotearoa in late March, there has been an increase in anti-trans hate in far-right circles. The report discovered that anti-trans content quickly became the key talking point in these far-right networks due to a tactic called community bridging, where one set of ideas is bridged into a community that doesn't yet hold those ideas. I spoke to Afi Marshall, Te Aroa Tainui, who is a student and Inside Out Kōrero board member, on her perspective on the report as someone who is trans and takatāpui and has experience in this space. Afi uses she-they pronouns. The Disinformation Project report has essentially found an increase in transphobia and hate speech towards trans people since Posy Parker spoke in Aotearoa. Does this line up with your experiences as someone who is takatāpui?
Yeah, definitely. Even walking down the street, I've seen an increase in kind of looks and stares, and even some outbursts. I've been called slurs on the street, which hasn't been great. It was happening before the Posy Parker protest, but I've certainly noticed the looks and stares and things like that increase afterwards.
And the narrative recently has been that trans women are a threat to cis women, and basically anyone who isn't cis is a danger to society. But Waikato academic Kyle Tan has said trans people are essentially being used as a scapegoat and transphobia is being used to reinforce white supremacy. Does that seem like an accurate description to you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, whakawahine and tangata iratane existed long before colonisation came to this country. Transness is an inherently anti-white supremacist concept. Ultimately, the people that think that trans people are a threat to cis people, especially cis women's safety, probably just don't know any trans women, because often I find that cis women feel extremely safe around trans women. They feel protected, and they feel content to share spaces with them.
A lot of cis people are also concerned about this report. What are your thoughts on how they can be better allies and push back against the rhetoric that's being proven false?
Yeah, I mean, the number one thing I think for cis people in everyday life is to be aware of what's happening, to be aware that, you know, every time trans people walk out in public, we're not safe. We're not as safe as cis people are. We've constantly got to think about the threat of violence, and even things as simple as using the bathrooms that make us feel the most comfortable can be something that causes a violent outburst for something. So, just being aware that basically our entire public lives is constantly under scrutiny, and the kind of emotional baggage that comes with.
Are there any actions cis people can be taking to support? I know there's been like counter protests and that kind of thing. Should cis people be showing up to those?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, being out in public normally is unsafe for trans people. When we have those events where people on the far right and neo-Nazis are showing up, that is incredibly unsafe for trans people. So to have, the Posy Parker protest in Auckland was just incredible. I myself didn't go because I didn't feel safe, but the fact that thousands of cis people showed up to say we don't accept transphobia here, that's exactly what we need to see moving forward.
This whole thing began because Posy Parker was allowed entry into Aotearoa. Do you think this shows that the government needs to step up and show more responsibility in protecting trans people?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we saw Posy Parker's tour in Australia gaining traction, and the violence that ensued at her events, and how neo-Nazis showed up and effectively co-opted that event, and that wasn't decried by her. So, we knew the risk of her coming here. The government knew the risk. I'm part of one of the organisations that took the government to court to try and prevent her coming into the country, and the judge's decision ultimately decided that it wasn't the court's place, but that he heavily sympathised with our opinion and believed that the minister's decision was wrong, but it wasn't his place to appeal it. So the courts know, it was shown in that judgment that the courts know that people like Posy Parker are a violent threat to society, but it's the government's job to actually take action to prevent this.
Now that Posey Parker has left Aotearoa and the immigration minister can't change anything in hindsight, is there anything else the government can be doing right now to protect trans people?
Absolutely. I mean, we've seen Labor backtrack on hate speech plans for hate speech laws. Right now, the only really hate speech protections we have only protect race, colour of the skin and national ethnic origin. And the bar for prosecution is also very, very high, basically impossibly high. So we need to introduce several more protected characteristics, including trans people, gender, sexuality, religion, all these sorts of things, and lower the bar for prosecution so that people can actually take people to court for hate speech and kind of deal with these situations as they arise.
Is there anything else you'd like people to know about the experiences of actually being takatāpui or trans at the moment?
I mean, first of all, like, I want people to know that I never regret being takatāpui. I never regret being trans. It's a beautiful experience. But it comes with some unique challenges that people that don't experience it can struggle to understand sometimes. So I would say just make sure you're listening to your trans friends, giving them space to be emotional, to feel what they feel about these situations, but most of all, show up and keep them safe.
And finally, so this all comes back to a report which has said since Posey Parker came to Aotearoa, there has been an increase in transphobia and hate speech towards trans people. Do you think this is just our new normal, or do you think we can combat this and we can change people's minds about trans people?
Well, we can absolutely change minds. I mean, the trend we've seen over the past few decades, if we look to a much bigger scope, has been one of acceptance towards trans people, gender diverse people, queer people in general. It's a very recent spike in hate, and so I think, you know, we can ride this wave and we can take actions to prevent it happening in the future. But yeah, I'm hopeful about the future, and I hope that I can, you know, I can retire in a world where it's safe for trans kids to grow up to be trans adults.
I also spoke to John Finnerty, who is a senior lecturer in counselling, human services and social work at Waipapa Taumātoro, the University of Auckland, on anti-trans discrimination and the role of academics in gathering this data. John uses he, him pronouns, and here is that interview. So you were involved in the Identify survey of Rainbow Young People. What were the findings of that report, and do they match the findings of the Disinformation Project's report?
I was the lead investigator in Identify. Identify is the largest national study we have of takatāpui and rainbow young people aged 14 to 26. We heard from over 4,800 rainbow young people in 2021 about their experiences across a whole range of domains, including education, schools, university, community sector, some healthcare settings, and also work and employment and in their home lives. And one of the really one of the key things that came through from that study is that while many and around 2,000 of those young people were not cisgender. So they were either part of the trans community or identified in ways that they weren't cisgender. And one of the key things that really emerged from those findings were that despite the fact that many of those young trans people are thriving and flourishing, they are also most often the ones experiencing discrimination and harassment, including in schools, at university, as well as at home and in the community. So our findings are important essentially because they show that even before Posey Parker's visit, trans communities and trans people were often facing higher levels of discrimination and abuse than cisgender members of the Rainbow community and Pakatakui whānau.
So this kind of matches the findings of the Disinformation Project's report in terms of, well, they found that this discrimination has increased, especially in alt-right circles since Posy Parker's visit. So we've now got two very strong sets of data on this. Why is gathering data at all so important?
One of the key issues for Pakatakui and Rainbow communities is the invisibility of our identities. And when our identities are invisible, it means that we're missing from health statistics, from national statistics, and that means it's impossible for us to really advocate with a lot of strength to get our needs and issues met by the various organisations that are responsible for doing that. And making sure that we've got data like the Disinformation Project's focus, like Identify, like Counting Ourselves, is vital because it's the only tools that we have to date that have been able to kind of demonstrate some of the issues that are operating for our communities. The new census, the most recent census, is really positive because finally we're seeing greater recognition of Rainbow and Pakatakui identities. And these studies, they play a role because they provide more nuanced understanding about issues that are relevant to our communities that are difficult to kind of collect in a large-scale national survey like the census.
The discrimination goes way back, but the Disinformation Project report has been so shocking because it's kind of affirmed what trans people know, which is that we're facing heightened levels of transphobia. And what do you think this means for trans people?
I think the Disinformation report means that for many trans people, they are becoming increasingly aware. This is another sort of marker, if you will, in the landscape that reaffirms that this is a community that is under threat, and particularly it's seen as an easy target for members of the kind of far right who want to demonise particular groups. And that makes these findings really important for trans people and communities, and really talks to the importance for people who identify as trans or part of those communities to really seek out support from each other and from cis allies to ensure that you're not kind of coping with any of this stuff on your own. And also, you know, as I've sort of articulated, for many trans people, they are aware that this goes back a long way. What is worrying is that it seems as though things are escalating and evolving further. And I think that means that for many trans people and communities, they're going to be much more mindful about how to protect themselves. Even for cis allies, we are often surprised by the level of kind of vitriol that we face in this space. And so I guess the key kind of takeaway is that we need to ensure that people are safe. And whenever we hear transphobia and it's safe for us to do so, we need to appropriately intervene and address it.
What do you think is the role of academics in supporting trans people?
Academics have particular opportunity to use their time and resources to uplift the mana of communities that are often overlooked, underexplored, and marginalised. And academics play a key role both in their ability to promote research that addresses the needs and aspirations of Pakatakui and trans communities, but also in their direct role supporting trans students in classes, supporting trans students and research projects, and the ability they've got to really grow that community. And of course there are trans supervisors and academics themselves who do this. I speak as a cis queer ally in this space, and I think those are the kind of main areas that I would suggest are the ways that academics have ability, and also, of course, to continually advocate that our fishery institutions are inclusive and welcoming of trans community.
From a data or academic perspective, is there anything else that you think is important for people to know about the Disinformation Project's report?
The data in the Disinformation Project is really important, and it shows a really concerning evolution and an escalation of transphobia. One of the important things that I keep coming back to is that, unfortunately, this transphobia has been around for a long time. The Counting Ourselves Trans Health survey, the Identify survey, even studies from Youth 2000, going back as far as 2000, show that trans people have faced higher rates of discrimination and abuse than cisgender people.
That was Afi Marshall and John Fennessy on the Disinformation Project's report findings of increasing online transphobia.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.